You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, my friend, and my colleague, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Why are you doing great?
I'm excited to talk to Brittany today.
Well, Brittany Merrill Underwood is our guest, and welcome, Brittany.
Thank you.
So, Brittany, you started this Akola Jewelry. Could you tell me about that? What is it?
Sure. Our vision at Akola is to be the leading global retail brand, creating women's economic opportunity and community transformation. This whole thing began in 2004. I was a sophomore at SMU, and I promised two friends we'd go on a summer adventure. I was thinking somewhere in Europe, and they were thinking Africa. So we ended up in Uganda. As college students,
Paris, and London, yeah,
was not in my plan. And I had never witnessed extreme poverty. So, you know, here I was, a 19-year-old, and just totally overwhelmed. Didn't really know how to process what I was seeing. And I had a local leader approach me 2 weeks into our trip and just say, "I think you need a little inspiration. I want to introduce you to a local Ugandan woman in our community who just has an amazing story." So I said, okay. And I followed him up this kind of dirt road to this tiny shack outside of Uganda's capital city, Kampala. And it was there that I met a Ugandan woman named Sarah, who was not but several years older than me at the time, but she sacrificed everything she had to care for 24 street children who slept on her floor. So they would roll out these kind of tiny bamboo mats and they'd huddle together to keep warm. And she'd pray that someone would show up and, you know, give her beans to get through the week. And what really stood out to me is she was proud that not one of the kids had died of starvation since they wandered into her home. So I was totally shaken out of my complacency and started working with Sarah to help empower her to care for the children that were sleeping on her floor. And that was the genesis of Akola Jewelry. We thought, how could we help these women in these communities care for kids, disadvantaged children, when they don't have the income? And this was sort of before the social business movement, before Toms and Feed. There was really no playbook for this. And we just thought, well, if we could help these women generate an income, then they can keep the kids in their home. And so we picked jewelry. And it's funny, we're in Neiman Marcus now, and they hate it when I say this, but this little thought went into our product. We thought it's easy to ship and should be relatively easy to train women who have no educational or vocational background. So that's kind of how we got started.
So, you know, it's really interesting to me when you think about you being exposed to something like that at mm-hmm. that age in
yes.
particular, because I guess there's really kind of two courses you can take. You can be overwhelmed by it mm-hmm. and think, wow, that's really bad. I'm very sad and I'm going home to where I don't have to face this kind
yeah.
of thing. Or you can say, I'm going to do something about it. What brought you to do something about it? I mean, that's not an easy decision to make, especially at 19.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've thought a lot about this. I think the decision to do something is what makes all the difference in the world. I think everyone confronts need almost every day in our lives. And certainly there's moments in our own story where we have what I had with Sarah, this sort of awakening of, oh my gosh, there's a need right in front of me. And I can either choose to do something about it or not. And the steps are pretty clear, like what you would do if you were going to help. And I sort of think of it as these thresholds in life. Like, are you going to cross them or are you not going to? And it takes a considerable amount of courage. And in my case, this kind of first threshold of I'm going to do something to help came out of just a burden. I mean, I left Sarah's home and the rest of the summer kept on thinking about her and these kids and just thought, like, I've got to do something. And sort of like, you know, when you know you have a grandparent who's aging and you just think, oh, I need to write them a letter. And he just kind of nags at you. It's sort of that same feeling. It wasn't even compassion or passion in the beginning. It was just a burden. And so finally, I responded several months later and contacted a man I'd worked with the summer before and said, there's this woman, she's in this village. Like, I just can't stop thinking about these kids. Like, how can I help? And he actually said, you know, since you've been gone, there's a sponsorship program that adopted them. So I thought, oh, I'm off the hook. They're eating. They're great. I'm glad they're taken care of. Goodbye. And then he said, but, the big but. But what they really need is a home. And so that sort of started this journey for me. And it just feels like grace because I don't think I had the courage at that time to take that step. And obviously had no idea this would end up being the next 15 years of my life. You know, just wanted to help in a small way. But I think that that burden and just responding to it really was the first step. And then it turned into a passion that became just compassion and the burden of my life.
So idea and desire is one thing. How did you set it up? What do the logistics look like? How long did that take?
Wanda. I mean, it's not like, you know, Appalachia. I mean,
it was not an easy task. And so it was one foot in front of the other. A lot of people say that now because we run a vertical brand. We developed and built all of our manufacturing facilities in Uganda where we, you know, train and employ women. We work in Dallas as well. So we work with women in urban poverty who are in crisis and need transitional work through making our jewelry. And so we run sort of this vertical supply chain. We run a retail brand and we run a nonprofit programming. So essentially three separate organizations in one nonprofit framework. And a lot of people are like, well, how in the world would you even, and it's been 15 years. So it was one foot, I mean, in front of the other. The first step was, you know, this woman needed a home for her kids. So raised money, moved over there when I graduated from college in 2006 with three friends who put their post-college jobs on hold. And we naively thought we'd be there for 6 months. And I was back and forth for the next 5 years.
Wow.
Most of my 20s. And in doing that, when you're working in these communities, you get to know what they really need, especially if you listen. And I think we were so young, we knew we didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
So we would sit with these women, these widows in front of their home and just, you know, talk to them about what they needed and what would make their community different. And we sort of learned from them that all they wanted was opportunity. They just wanted a way to do it themselves, not for us to do it for them. And that was the genesis of Akola.
You know, one of our colleagues went with you to Uganda, Ellen Davis, who's the head of the NRF Foundation. And she came back with some statistics that were just mind-boggling. The mortality rate, the HIV, the problems that they have with that. You know, when you talk about the passion, it's easy to say, these are the statistics. That's very sad.
Yeah.
To put that passion to work. So would that be passion to compassion to address the underlying needs?
I think burden to compassion to passion. And I think once you start putting a face to those statistics, even if it's just one, and it's a life and a child, and a child who's hungry, who lost their parents, and who has a name and dreams and, you know, a vision for their life. Like that's when it becomes real to you. And actually for me, when I, you know, first started this, when I was in college, what really shifted that for me and from burden to compassion to passion was I was a journalism major. So I thought, if I'm going to raise money for this building, I've got to create a film so other people can see what I saw. If they just saw this woman and listened to her story and saw these kids, surely they would want to help. And so I filmed 9 hours of footage and edited into this sort of promotional fundraising video. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you're editing video, you're going over and over these stories. I mean, you're splicing them, so you'll hear them 100 times. And I just kept on seeing these kids' faces and their stories and their just sort of the all of the pain, but also all of the hope that they had. And that's when suddenly it, you know, sort of this passion just lit up inside of me of I've got to find a way to help these kids and as many as I can. And then again, learned a lot when we did our first children's home. It's great to do infrastructure projects in East Africa and it's great to give charity, you know, and aid. But what people actually want is opportunity. They just want a chance to make their own lives better. And it makes so much sense. Like there's so many different nonprofit programs that just address the needs of the kids, which they're huge, but why not go through the family? The mothers want to be that. They want to address those needs. They just don't have the opportunity or the resources. So Akola means she works. And we give women in crisis, and again, in Uganda and Dallas, the chance to earn a living wage through our program. They assemble jewelry, they run our distribution center, they make custom beads, and throughout our entire supply chain, we have Impact that gives over 600 women jobs throughout that entire process. And then our products are sold at Neiman Marcus. We're also creating high impact product lines for other big box retailers under different Impact brands. So we're launching through Walmart and JCPenney this fall, through other brands. And just the more volume we have, the more women we can impact. And as a nonprofit, what makes Akola really unique is 100% of our profits, actually our revenues, are reinvested in our mission. We have no for-profit subsidiaries. So every time you buy Akola jewelry, what comes back to us goes directly to our mission, which That's is really fantastic. Exciting.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you faced from a employment perspective in Uganda? How do you find the women? How do you train them?
Yeah.
Is there a language barrier? I mean, yeah. How does all that work?
So we intentionally do not work with artisans. And people always assume we do because the other social business models, that's sort of how they're set up. We want to train women to become artisans. So our heart is really the most at-risk women who don't even have those skills. They are in Uganda, you know, subsistence farmers who don't own their own land. So they're paid about 50 cents sometimes a month to plow a field and one bad harvest. And not only are they hungry, but they're also paying the local landowner and they're in debt. So, I mean, it's a really dire situation. They care for an average of 9 kids each. So do the math. They can't feed their, you know, themselves. They can't feed 9 children. And so we work with those women and work with local leaders to identify women-headed households with the most dependence and the least support. Through social mapping, through all of these sort of innovative ways to sort of identify need in these small communities. And we work in 7 different communities and we actually build the infrastructure to support economic opportunity. Oftentimes we're building the road to our center that we built, custom built these workshops and centers because there's no tin roof in the village. There's no infrastructure. So on top of that, we have to drill clean water wells where we work because women will spend their whole day fetching water and they won't be able to work if right. they don't have clean water. So we have to kind of holistically address the needs in these areas. And so we create these beautiful hope centers in their community and train the women to work. And they can either work full-time or part-time. If they work full-time, they're on salary from 9 to 5. And if they want to stay and work on their farms, they can work part-time by making our custom beads, which they can do from home. So they have 2 different kind of tracks and options, and then they're promoted within that structure. So they become leaders and officers and end up working in our distribution center, running, in a lot of cases, our inventory management system after 3 years of never being employed or educated. They're, wow. you know, running our business in a very complex kind of international supply chain that they manage. So we've seen women that were so highly marginalized, they could barely look us in the eye when they started working with us 10 years later, start primary schools with their Akola earned income, send their kids to university from a village with their own wow. money, which is amazing, run for office, as well as be promoted within our structure. So it's just been, I mean, it's the joy of my life kind of seeing these women recognize that there's so much more than they ever believed or knew and their wings kind of spread.
I would think one of the problems that you would face is, you know, how are men threatened by this? I mean, yeah. it's a male dominated mm-hmm. society, I believe.
And it's polygamous. So yeah. Adding to that complexity, most women have a husband who also has other wives. Wow. So imagine adding that to a culture like that. Yeah, there's a lot of issues there. And we've address them in some pretty creative ways. The men in the village get to build our hope centers and our training centers. And we actually train them to build the center. And that was a way for us to give them economic opportunity. We have men support groups and they meet once a month and learn how to better love their wives and care for them. We have to address gender-based violence. That's a really big thing in our program. We have what also makes Akola pretty innovative and different than other social brands is not only are we providing a living wage economic opportunity to women in crisis, but we do sort of a suite of holistic services called Akola Academy that after a year in our program, our women can access. And it basically teaches them how to use their income to create meaningful change. And what's interesting is in, you know, 2010, this is just heartbreaking. We had a bunch of women in our program die of childbirth in their homes.
Oh.
And we thought, how in the world is this happening? They're earning a living wage. Why aren't they going to the clinic to have their babies? And we did a little digging and we realized that either they had superstitions about going to the doctor or they didn't even know there was a clinic 5 miles away. It was an education gap. And that's when we realized, like, this is almost irresponsible in these communities unless we're teaching them how to actually create change with their income, not just through savings and loans, which we do in business, small business creation. We do all of that. But how do they use income to address their maternal health, to address sanitation in their home, to address gender-based violence, rights-based development? And we do those programs through a really innovative participatory way where women actually are taught to teach. So they end up not only impacting the women in our program, but women far beyond ECOLA. So we address all of that. And again, gender-based violence is a big part. Do a lot of role-playing to teach women how to introduce income into their home. A lot of times they give 30% right away to their husband. So kind of pacify him, give him what he needs, and they spend the rest on their kids and a lot of creative ways that we've had to come up with to address those issues.
So you also do work in the Dallas area.
We do, and yes.
Tell me about that.
We expanded to Dallas in 2016 with our launch through Neiman Marcus. So actually, it was an incredible thing. Neiman Marcus launched our social brand. I think we're the first nonprofit that's ever retailed in the luxury jewelry space. And they launched ECOLA in every single store nationwide. Wow. In 2016. Unprecedented national rollout.
See, that's a leap.
It's a huge leap. And it was a huge risk for them because we are a nonprofit. Right. And we don't have the retail infrastructure that a lot of their brands have. And what's amazing is we became a top 10 jewelry brand in our first season.
Wow.
And we're still in every store, you know, 2 years later and growing our product line and through Neiman's new categories. This is amazing. We're able to impact 100 women just through our launch of Neiman's in Dallas who assembled the jewelry, much less the, you know, 400 women in Uganda who are making the custom beads that went into the jewelry that was assembled in Dallas. And even our distribution center, we set it up as a second chance job program for women who've been formerly incarcerated, sexually trafficked in the Dallas area. So even the way our products were packaged for Neiman's had an impact. And just this past year, a little over a year, we've directly distributed over $500,000 in direct wages just to women in Dallas through our Neiman Marcus partnership. So that's one retailer.
Fabulous.
So if you do the math, right. It's just a considerable impact with every retail we partner with. Every retailer that takes the risk on us, we're able to impact hundreds of women across the globe.
Do you do anything online?
We do. We have an online business at ecolaproject.org. ECOLAPROJECT. That's our mass market line. So it's from like $15 to $100. And Neiman Marcus, their starting price point's $125 to $800. So we sort of give them an exclusive to sort of that line and then create sort of a more affordable product line through our online business. And then again, we're trying, our goal is to create impact product lines for big box retailers at all price points through right. different impact brands. So again, launching through JCPenney and Walmart with other brands as well.
You know, I could talk about this, I think, for hours because it's a wonderful story and the impact that you're having on people's lives. And I think, again, the thing that really gets me is that you were exposed to this at such a young age, mm-hmm. and then you were able to take that learning and apply all of those, that wisdom that comes with getting a little bit older and just finding your way to actually have this kind of an impact.
Well, I think that's what it takes. I think you have to commit. And I mean, there are so many times we could have given up. I mean, there are so sure. many roadblocks in this journey. And I think what set us apart is we never gave up and we persevered. I mean, that's it. I swear that people are like, this is amazing. How this happened. And I mean, I honestly think the only thing that we can totally take credit for so much of this has just been grace, like God's grace through this whole journey. But we never gave up. And when there was sort of a no, we found a way to make it a yes. And we persevered. And 15 years later, we've created something really special.
It is special, Brittany. So we have a part of the program that you probably don't know anything about. It's called Rapid Fire.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question, and then you're going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
This is not a test.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Sarah, start us off.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Journalist.
What superpower would you like to have?
Flying.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, man. That's that's hard to do with rapid fire. Best advice I've ever received is the actual journey is much bigger than what you do. It's who you become.
Excellent. What app can you not live without?
There's so many of them. Probably Instagram.
What piece of jewelry always travels with you?
Earrings.
And the last one, beach or mountains?
Both.
Both. Very good. Well, thank you, Brittany, so much. And again, give us the website if people want to learn more about the Akola Project.
Yeah, it's akolaproject.org, akolaprojects.org.
Excellent. Thank you, Brittany, for joining us. It's been absolutely fantastic and an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Sarah, thank you.
Of course, always.
And thank everyone out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.